This week on the Pro Wrestling Podcast, Vince McMahon stepping down as the chairman and CEO of WWE amidst salacious allegations. Jeff Hardy arrested for his third DUI and suspended from AEW. Was Sasha Banks released from the WWE? And the Macho Man, Randy Savage, has a knife fight in a Waffle House. You can't make this shit up, folks. I'm your host, Seth Grimes, and this is the Pro Wrestling Podcast. What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am your boy, Seth Grimes. And remember last week when I was talking about how it was a slow news week? Didn't really have a lot to cover. I had to do two different TNA stories on my show last week just to fill it out. Two TNA stories. Well, a lot can change in a week in professional wrestling, can it not? A lot of crazy news breaking this week, and not good news either. Not the least of which is our top story here this week. Vince McMahon stepping down from his role as the chairman and CEO of WWE amidst allegations leaked by the Wall Street Journal that he was having relations with an employee, passed her off to John Laurinaitis after he was done with her, and then they paid her off for her silence. And of course, this was leaked to the Wall Street Journal this week, and almost immediately Vince McMahon went out publicly and stepped down from his role as the chairman, which kind of surprised me. I would have thought he would have clung to that a little bit harder. And Stephanie McMahon has been named the interim CEO as of now. Take a look at this clip here from Sean Ross Sapp going over the details, and then I'll catch you on the other side and we'll break this one down because there is a lot to talk about here.
It says the board of WWE is investigating a secret $3 million settlement that longtime chief executive Vince McMahon agreed to pay to a departing employee with whom he allegedly had an affair, according to documents and people familiar with the board inquiry. The January 2022 separation agreement bars the now former employee, who was hired as a paralegal in 2019, from discussing her relationship with Mr. McMahon or disparaging him, the people said. The board's investigation, which began in April, has unearthed other non-disclosure agreements involving claims by former WWE employees of misconduct by Mr. McMahon and one of his top executives, John Laurinaitis, the head of talent relations at WWE, the people said. The journal could not determine how many previous agreements were being scrutinized. The board's outside counsel was still collecting information about the NDAs this week, but has determined the payments totaled in the millions of dollars. The board's eight independent directors have retained New York-based law firm Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett LLP to conduct the investigation, one of the people said. The board's preliminary findings are that Mr. McMahon used funds to pay for the former employees who signed the agreements, including one involving allegations against Mr. Laurinaitis, the person said. More broadly, the law firm is also assessing WWE's compliance and human resources program and the company culture. A WWE spokesman said the company, which runs the world's most famous wrestling business, is cooperating fully with the board inquiry and that the relationship with the ex-paralegal was consensual.
So I don't think it comes as a surprise to many people that Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis would do such a thing. That's not the shocker here. Oh my God, I can't believe Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis would be, you know, paying office ladies fucking hush money for their sexual sexual relations as they leave the company. But I mean, this is the kind of shit, this has been going on since the 80s, right? Vince had a thing going on with a referee at one point, and he paid her off too. And this, as far as we know, is accurate. There's no denial that any sexual relations happened with this woman. Apparently it was consensual. As far as consensual, you know, we don't know if she was being paid for her services or incentivized, or, you know, quid pro ro kind of stuff where, you know, you do this. And I mean, so here's the kicker. So she was paid hush money on her way out to the tune of $3 million. And this was to basically keep her from talking about her relationship with Vince McMahon or John Laurinaitis and her time at WWE as far as everything that went on. Of course, one of her friends leaked this to the board of directors. And then I don't know if it was leaked to the board and then the board leaked it to the Wall Street Journal, or if it was leaked to the Wall Street Journal first. But this did cross the board of executives a couple months ago, actually. Right around shortly after is when Stephanie McMahon actually stepped down. So there is some speculation that kind of that when Stephanie stepped down from her role, she was taking a break from the company back then, it was actually to distance herself from the situation so that she could step in and be the CEO if anything were to happen with Vince and he had to step down. I think that happened maybe quicker than expected, but you know, Vince's attorney, Jerry McDivitt, you know, he's already come out and said that this was private money paid to this woman, not company money. So there's no denial that anything happened with this woman. There's no denial that she was paid money upon leaving to shut the fuck up. What the problem is here, other than just this is just general sleazeball behavior, I don't think any corporate CEO should be having to pay millions of dollars in hush money to former employees on their way out the door over sexual stuff. You know, when you're the boss, you just don't fuck your employees. You know, that's just as simple as that. And I get it. I mean, you're in a workplace. I get it. When you're around people, shit happens. You're around people all day. That's why all these wrestlers fuck each other like bunnies and shit. You know, you hear all these stories of all the divas hooking up with the wrestlers and stuff, or the women's wrestlers hooking up with the wrestlers in the modern era. It's been going on for a long, long time. I mean, that's just how it works. But Vince, being the boss man, needs to kind of keep his hands clean of that and go fucking stick his dick in somebody else's pool. You know what I'm saying? But regardless, other than it being general sleazeball behavior, there's nothing inherently illegal about it. But, I mean, adultery, I guess you could say. But, I mean, you know, it's 2020. I'm sure Vince's relationship at this point with his wife is a business relationship at best. You know, Linda knows exactly what Vince has been up to since the 80s. You know, this has probably been their arrangement since the 80s. You know what I mean? They're a power couple. It's a business arrangement and nothing more. But Johnny Ace, married to one of the Bella's moms, or one of the Bella's moms. They're twins, you fuck! Jesus Christ. Johnny Ace, married to the Bella twins, is both of them their mom. So who knows what the status of all that kind of stuff is, but the real legal beagle trouble comes in here is that this lady was given basically 100% raise. She was bumped up to double what she was paying, getting paid $100,000 as a paralegal apparently, and then, was just bumped up to $200,000 rather quickly, which is, you know, anybody that does a lot of good work. And you know, they're earning their keep at a company, will can get a raise, but double to $100,000 to $200,000. So this is something that the board does have to take a look at, and this is something that will need to be investigated as to the time of this relationship and how exactly did she earn this raise. What was she doing at the time? What did she take on more or do more that got her the raise? that kind of stuff remains to be seen. And then this has also kind of opened Pandora's box to other hush money situations, other payouts that were on the books for Vince McMahon, where he's been doing this kind of thing since the 80s, man. There's multiple cases here. And I'm going to guess that this does open the door kind of in the Me Too movement, you know, in the vein of the Me Too, that I think other people might start to come out in this situation too. And other people might start to speak up on their allegations and their stories. So this could be a giant shitstorm for Vince McMahon and the WWE. I am shocked that Vince stepped down. I really am. I would have thought he would have fought it more. But, you know, he's smart, and he's got a lot of smart people around him. And I think, you know, him just stepping down before he's forced down and shit gets ugly. You know, he has 80% voting power within the board of directors. So, I mean, nobody can tell Vince what to do. They can pressure him. They can push him. They can try to leverage him. But nobody's going to tell Vince he has to, okay? You know, the whole rest of the board only makes up 20% of voting power. They can't say shit. But Vince did the smart thing anyway to step down and just kind of take the heat off of himself. He put Stephanie in charge. Stephanie is well deserving of this position, by the way. I know there was a lot of talk when she left the company a couple months ago or a month or so ago that there were some people kind of dogging her backstage and kind of saying like, she sucked at her job, basically, right? And, you know, that she wasn't doing all that great. That was those jobs that she, whatever she took over that she was doing there. But as a CEO, she's been following Vince around since she was in high school. She's worked damn near every job in the entire building. You know, it's known that her and Shane, I mean, I don't know if both of them, you know, I mean, Shane, I know, mentioned he worked in the mailroom at one point. So, I think Stephanie worked in merchandise maybe when she started, but all of the, both of them worked in from the lowest positions in the building all the way up to, you know, Stephanie was a wrestler. She was a women's champion. She did bra and panties matches. She was in WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey and Triple H and Kurt Angle. She has done it all within the company. She's been sitting in on these board meetings. She's on the board. So she's been in on the board movie. She's been doing these conference calls. She's been sitting in on the creative meetings for years and years and years. She knows the ins. There's nobody in WWE that is more qualified or knows more than Stephanie McMahon at this point. And I'll fight anybody to the death over that one. You know, you could say a Nick Khan could slide in. He's going to do a lot of the business shit. He's been doing a lot of the business shit anyway. Vince hasn't been. Vince is the ultimate decider, obviously. But Nick Khan was hired to handle a lot of that shit. So he's going to continue doing that. Stephanie's the go-to, you know. Stephanie's the yes man at this point. She's the person that you got to go to get the approval of. She's the one that's got to okay everything, oversee everything. She's going to do a fine job of that. She's more than qualified to do that. She is a McMahon, you know, and I think it's brilliant. I think Steph is the McMahon. If the company doesn't get sold, even if it gets sold and they want a McMahon in charge, if she wants to stick around, but the other thing, though, is we all kind of know that Vince is probably going to just keep running shit anyway, right? This is like mafia shit. Same thing he did back in the 90s. You know, you ever see the movie Casino, where the guy that's, he's De Niro's character, he's running a casino, and he's a high-profile mob-related type guy, so he's got to keep switching up his title every couple of months or so within the company so that the board of regulations and licensings or whatever, they never catch on. And he's just run shit still, even though there's a figurehead CEO or boss man. He's just a puppet. And though I don't think Stephanie's fully a puppet, because like I said, she's more than qualified to take this job and is probably going to be the heir to Vince. And let's face it, Vince is 80 years old, so there's going to need to be a transition of power at some point. This might need to be that time, but Also, I fully see Stephanie taking this job, you know, and still doing Vince's bidding, you know, still defaulting, you know, to Vince's rule. And, you know, she will be the corporate face of this whole situation, but Vince is really going to be running things behind the scenes. Certainly creatively, he's staying in charge. Nobody's taking that spot from him. But, you know, I would argue that he'll probably be doing a lot of the board, you know, his CEO and chairman duties as well, behind the scenes. And Vince, will just kind of pass along his will to Stephanie and she'll carry that out for him. But it'll be interesting to see, especially if other stuff opens up about this, starts to come out about this. I think that can significantly make things worse for Vince. I think John Laurinaitis' time is numbered here. I think for now, this is a situation similar to the 90s. This isn't the first time Vince has stepped down as CEO. He was the chair. He wasn't the chairman because they weren't public at the time, but he was the CEO of the WWF at the time that the steroid scandal happened and he was indicted. And he stepped down as CEO and Linda took over. And Linda was on paper the CEO all the way up until basically till she started running for Senate or whatever the fuck she was doing over there. So, and that's Vince took back over the role of CEO of WWE. So she wasn't the boss man running everything. You know, it was Vince. It's Vince's company. And she was just the corporate head of it. So I think it's going to be much similar to that. But I think this time around, there could be enough scandal here. There could be enough unearthed that could make Vince have to go away in shame. I'd hate to see that. I know a lot of people are down on Vince right now because of the scumbaggery. But I think we've all kind of been known this, right? So we've just kind of been living in denial, and this is just confirmation that this is who Vince McMahon is. But, you know, we still don't, I can't believe a lot of us want to see Vince harmed. I mean, just because he's a dirty, perverted old man who likes to try to bury his shit in the litter box with fucking $100 bills, that doesn't make him I don't want to see the guy fall from grace like that. You know, I'd like to see him go out in peace. And then there was this SmackDown thing. There's been some talk when he came out on SmackDown the other night as to what the point of that was. Was that him just soaking up the crowd one last time before he does go out in shame? Does he expect to not be able to do that ever again at this point? Either because the crowd will hate him and boo him because of his shame, or because he just shit's gonna get worse and he doesn't want to show face publicly, or was that him being defiant and coming out and saying, you know what, I'm not gonna hide, here I am, front and center, WWE forever. I don't quite know what to make of that, but regardless, now is the time to start transitioning the transition of power. Nick Khan already has most of the business power here. Obviously Vince as a chairman and CEO, and now Stephanie as the chairman and CEO is going to have deciding power. But it's still going to very much be, Nick Khan's job to do that kind of thing, you know, run the numbers, that sort of stuff, get the big deals. But I think it's time to put Stephanie McMahon in that chair and start grooming her to be the next Vince. I don't think there's anybody more qualified that you can put in that chair at this time. And I think wrestling would, the WWE would thrive under Stephanie. And I would hope that she would bring in Triple H then at that point to kind of head up the creative team. You know, and kick some of these old dinosaurs to the curb. I love Bruce Pritchard, but kick him out. Kick out your Kevin Dunn's. Kick out, you know, and put your own team in place. Let Triple H bring back a lot of those people. You know, your Shawn Michaels, unless he wants to keep Shawn down in NXT. But, you know, start rebuilding your team now that Vince is going to be out the door, if that can happen at some point. And Steph can be the boss lady. being the corporate face of the company, Triple H be the creative, Nick be the business. I think that's the way that WWE is going to go, at least until it sells. If it sells, I think it'll sell at some point. But even then, they may still want to keep that structure intact. So it'll remain to be seen how all of this plays out. But goddamn, again, not the first time in my lifetime, but certainly this is major news. This is, you know, Vince McMahon stepping down, regardless whether if it's just figuratively or actually, is just major earth-shattering news in professional wrestling. So I expect this to continue to be a big story and more shit to come out from it. And I will continue to monitor it. So just keep checking in and we'll keep you up to date here at the Pro Wrestling Podcast. Podcast on to the next motherfucker. Jeff Hardy arrested in Volusia County this week on his third DUI. Apparently, he was coming back from a night out where he was doing a concert, had been doing some drinking. And this is just a really sad story, and I'll get into all the details as to why. But before I do, just check out this clip to kind of give you the nuts and bolts of the details of what happened, and then we'll dive into it a little bit further. Check out this clip.
Jeff Hardy arrested Monday in Florida on three charges. The most significant, a DUI, its third offense in the last 10 years, per online court records. That is a third-degree felony. Hardy is currently in custody, $3,500 bond.
And then as news broke for this story, TMZ was able to leak the badge cam footage and the dash cam footage of this incident as well. So we do have the entire interaction with the police is on tape. There's like a half hour's worth of it floating around out there online. Check out a little bit of a clip of that so you can kind of see what this whole situation looked like.
Behind you, get the takes off on you.
26.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put your phone and all your money that you had, put that back in your car, okay? Alright, we'll move on to the next one. I want you, but slower. Hey, Rook, give me another set of cuffs, please. I think you missed 24.
Man, this really breaks my heart. And it really does, because you know, just a couple weeks ago, the Hardys were on Chris Jericho's podcast, and I did do a clip of that as well. And they were talking about the whole piss test situation with WWE when Jeff left the WWE. He was acting erratic. Was he drunk? Because they didn't give him an alcohol test. But certainly, you know, they drug tested him and he piss tested clean and he was very indignant about it. I'm not going to rehab. Blah, blah, blah. I'm well now. And this is, you know, he didn't quite say it like that, but he was offended by it. And that it led to him, you know, leaving WWE. Not coming back and signing with AEW, the Hardy Boys, and you know, publicly from that interview and just the way. It's just sad because I felt like he was doing good. And not only did I feel like he was doing good, but I feel like I was lied to. Because when he was doing that interview with Chris, he was talking about, you know, like Chris asked him, you know, so you've been sober for a while? And Jeff's like, yeah, man, you know, I'm doing great. It's like, I'm so close to getting my license back. You know, he even mentioned, you know, that he doesn't have a fucking license, which is one of the charges that he got in addition to his DUI, driving without a license. He lied to all of our faces publicly. And when WWE called him out on his bullshit and tried to drug test him, and he did pass the drug test, so he's not on drugs. It's an alcohol thing at this point, which is you know, just as bad in a lot of ways and undetectable in those ways. You know, they wouldn't have gave him an alcohol test that night if he was drinking or had been drinking and wanted to go drink, whatever the situation was. But, you know, he was just on there talking with everybody about doing better now and getting so close to getting his life back on track, and you know, and he's just out there fucking up still, and he's been out there fucking up because this wasn't a one-off of, you know, you don't, as many times as a dude like Jeff Hardy's been caught, there's so many other times that he's not getting caught, and that's the dangerous problem with these people that like to go out and drink and drive. Now look, none of us are perfect, all right? You know, he who is without sin cast the first stone. So I'm not here to judge Jeff Hardy. But at a certain point, I'm let down by Jeff Hardy. It's disheartening. It's saddening. And I've lost faith in Jeff. Because even 2 weeks ago after that interview he did with Chris, I did a clip of Jeff. And I was like, yeah, fuck WWE. I mean, everybody deserves a second chance. And I did say in that, you know, that Jeff's got to accept that having the history that he does, that people, when he starts acting erratic, and he knows that he does because he said that on interviews too. So he knows that Jeff Hardy is an erratic character in general. That people are going to question if it's a drug-related thing or now an alcohol-related thing, right? He has to accept that. When that's part of your lineage, that's part of your history, you can't get mad when people accuse you anymore. All you can do is prove, like Matt Hardy has, for example, and he's taken a lot of heat recently, too. Oh, you let Jeff. You let Jeff. How could you let Jeff? Booker T, I almost put a clip up of Booker T, too, but fuck Booker T. I'm so sick of his bullshit, too. He goes on, he takes every chance he gets to bash AEW. He goes online and the very first fucking thing he says after he says, yeah, Jeff Hardy, blah, 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 is, you know, I think AEW is has some blame in this. Well, I said, and I've been seeing a lot of that shit out there too, you know, oh, AEW needs to accept. Listen, at some point, Jeff has to be responsible for Jeff. I don't give a fuck how many ladder matches. Is it a stupid idea to play with Jeff like a toy? And, oh, we got Jeff. Let's put him in a ladder match every other match that we book him in. Yes, that's dumb, especially at his age and how banged up he is and everything. But look, Edge, Christian, the Dudley Boys, how many ladder matches have they been through? Tons, tons. Edge especially, probably, you know, not as many as the Hardy. Perhaps, but lots of ladder matches. All right, are they fucking junkies and fuck ups and alcoholics or anything like that? No. Darby Allin takes a bajillion sick bumps. He fucks up his body all the time. I'm sure he's living in constant pain. Is he a junkie or an alcoholic? No, he's drug free. So at some point, we have to stop blaming the fucking wrestling, blaming the promoters, blaming the matches that these guys are in and the bumps that they're taking. And on top of that, even if Jeff was not in a professional wrestling company being booked to take bumps by a promoter, this motherfucker crashes his dirt bike on his off time, right? That fucking leg injury that he had when he broke his fucking leg, it was on a dirt bike, not a ladder, on his own time. Tony Khan didn't book him to fucking take a giant jump on his dirt bike. Vince McMahon didn't put him in a fucking dirt bike jump match, okay? Jeff Hardy is responsible for Jeff Hardy. Not Matt Hardy, not Tony Khan, not Rebby Hardy, not fucking Vince McMahon, not Michael Hayes. Jeff Hardy is responsible for Jeff Hardy and his own actions. And at this point, he's all out of other chances. I wish him the best. I hope he gets well. I would like to see him doing well. But I'm never going to trust the guy again. I'm always going to default to him being a fuck up at this point because this is his third time. And again, I'm not judging the man. I'm just saying, like, I feel betrayed. I feel lied to as a fan. And you know what? He doesn't owe me shit, so I'm not trying to be indignant about it. But he went on just 2 weeks ago, did a podcast with Chris Jericho, bashed WWE for having the nerve to fucking think that he could be on something again and not believing him, and that he's on the right track, and oh, I'm doing so good, and I'm going to have been sober, and I'm going to get my license back soon and get my life on track. And this is what you're doing behind closed doors. This is what you're doing when nobody's looking, when you don't think that you're going to get caught. And this is what fucking happens. But you keep doing this shit. Same with the Jimmy Uso. Same with anybody who does this on a regular basis at some point. Sonny, another one. Look at, she killed a man. Legit. How many times does Sonny have to get arrested for a DUI, on drugs, driving, drinking, and just get let back out on the street before she ended up killing a man? At the end of the day, the only difference between Jimmy Uso and fucking Jeff Hardy and Tammy Sitch is Tammy actually killed a guy. You know, you keep letting Jeff out on the streets, keep letting him drink and drive, eventually his car is going to crash into the back of some old man who's going to fucking die. Or hit a guy crossing the street, or who knows. And I don't want to put that shit on anybody, but enough is enough, man. Mistakes happen, but then there's a fine line between I made a mistake and I'm a selfish piece of shit who will never learn. I've lost my faith in Jeff Hardy. I've lost my trust in Jeff Hardy. I've lost respect for Jeff Hardy. I wish him all the best. I hope he gets well. I don't want to see him fail as a person. I want to see him come back around, and I want to eat my words, and I want to see him live his best life. And I hope he really, really takes the time that he has here on his suspension to get clean, because he also balked at WWE. No, I'm not going to your rehab, your fucking, your clinics. Fuck you. But now he has to if he wants to go back to WWE or to AEW. You know, he was suspended without pay, and he's not allowed to return until completion of treatment, of rehab, and successful, like, not fucking up. So who knows how long that even is. He's basically essentially fired, you know. Like, I'm not going to cut bait altogether, you know, but... And, you know, Tony Khan must feel like he bought a fucking, he was sold a bill of goods, right? By both probably Matt and Jeff. Oh, I'm fine, I'm good. And I don't think it's fair to place blame on Matt, but as close as he is with Jeff, I'm sure he knew more than, you know, I'm sure he knew that Jeff was, at the very least, he knew Jeff sneaks out to drink from time to time or drives around when he shouldn't be, that these are things. Apparently, Jeff has kept his license. He has a copy of his driver's license, so he's still able to rent a car because they don't actually check to see if they're valid or anything, apparently. They just, oh, you got a license? Okay, it's not expired. Boom, boom, boom. Here you go. So it's all around sad. I know I'm kind of talking in circles now at this point about it, but I just hope he does better. I hope he does well, and I hope this is the end of this kind of shit. But as far as I'm done, I'm over Jeff Hardy, man. I gave him the benefit of the doubt in my last clip, and I kind of took his side, and, you know, on the words that everybody deserves a second chance and sometimes even a third chance. But goddamn, man. Sasha Banks. Is she released? Is she not released? What the fuck's going on with Sasha Banks? Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc. News, who is a very legitimate wrestling journalist, has broken stories in the past. He's not some fly-by-night fucking dirt sheet wannabe motherfucker, okay? So if he says that something's going on, there's some smoke to that fire, right? If there's some smoke, there may be a fire, whatever the fuck the thing is. So Raj is reporting that WWE has given Sasha Banks her release, or has released Sasha Banks from the WWE. Of course, Sasha Banks went on Twitter later on that week and said, "See, this is why you don't read the internet," and basically laughing at that whole situation. But certainly there is something to this, as some of the other dirt sheet reporters are starting to dig into this, and they're not getting told no. Check out this clip, kind of going over where we're at with the latest on this news. And this is from What Culture Wrestling, and then I'll catch you on the flip side.
Yes, Sasha Banks has reportedly been released from WWE. So this is coming from Raj Giri of the Wrestling Inc. He tweeted out just saying, "I'm hearing Sasha Banks has been released. I don't know if it's she requested it or if it was on WWE's end." Now people have been scrabbling to try and confirm this story ever since. Sean Mossop went on to Fightful Select. He's been saying that he's reached out to numerous WWE reps about the alleged release and they hadn't heard anything. He said that no one has been able to confirm or deny the news of Banks' release and that she is still listed on WWE roster.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. That's the latest that we know for Sasha Banks at this point. It's kind of being reported on it that she's done, that she has been given a release, but this has not been confirmed by anybody as of the recording of this. What a week where Sasha Banks, this is the third story, right? The third story of the show, not even the top story. Sasha Banks released from WWE. That's how you know it's a big week. Sasha Banks is a megastar. If Sasha Banks is released from the WWE, this is a loss to the WWE. I know there's a lot of there's people on both sides of this out there on the internet, right? I see that there's people that are kind of like saying that Sasha's being a brat, you know, and she's just being a selfish and bratty, and I don't like creative, so I'm going to take my ball and go home. Perhaps. But she's also a fucking megastar, okay? Sasha's not just, you know, I'm that girl from wrestling, and if I'm not wrestling, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? Like, Bray Wyatt was a big star when he was released from WWE, but he's not a mainstream star. Sasha Banks is a mainstream star. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. She is like the female John Cena in that regard. She has so many doors open to her, it's not even funny. Being Snoop Dogg's cousin, just to start with. You know how many cookie jars Snoop has his hand in this industry? Snoop Dogg is the most prolific, most ubiquitous fucking person in Hollywood right now, in mainstream entertainment. He has so many, you know, from fucking record labels. The dude owns Death Row Records at this point, that whole back catalog, right? All his TV shows, all his connections, just being related to Snoop alone will get her opportunities, but she's earned it on her own as Sasha Banks, the boss. She's been on Hot Ones. You ever watch Hot Ones? Are you familiar with what Hot Ones is? It's a YouTube show. It's just a YouTube show where people eat chicken wings and shit, but it's only like the biggest Hollywood megastars on the planet, right? I just watched one with fucking Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, right? Mega stars on here. Kevin Bacon did one. These are the biggest of the biggest stars in Hollywood. They're all coming on Hot Ones because it's the thing to do. It's the fun thing to do. Go on Hot Ones, eat some spicy chicken wings. Sasha Banks has been on Hot Ones. Sasha Banks was on the Disney Plus fucking Mandalorian show, one of the biggest nerd shows on the planet, okay? Disney Plus. She fucking had an acting gig with Disney. She's got that on her resume. Dude, this chick, and look at her. She's a fucking, she's got supermodel beauty. She's got style. She's got charisma coming out of her eyeballs. This is the biggest star to come out of professional wrestling since John Cena. And I know a lot of people will balk at that, but from everything that I just went over, there's nobody else in the WWE who has reached that level of mainstream. You know, you can balk at it from an in-ring perspective and say, oh, Becky Lynch is a bigger than Charlotte Flair. Sasha Banks, nobody's achieved what Sasha Banks has since John Cena. She is a fucking megastar. And she doesn't need WWE to have that. She doesn't need the name Sasha Banks to have that. She can leave WWE. She doesn't have to go to AEW. She doesn't have to ever wrestle again. She can go walk right into Hollywood and start getting fucking gigs as an actress right away. If she wants to wrestle, she can go wrestle on AEW and wrestle all the top talent over there. I'm sure she loves wrestling. I know she's mentioned she wants to work in New Japan and that kind of stuff. So it depends on if she really loves wrestling that much. It's in her blood that much, which I think it is. I think she'll still want to keep wrestling. But I think, and you know, AEW can make that happen too with their part-time schedule. Even though WWE is not working as much as they used to with all their house shows and stuff, AEW is just a lighter schedule, and it can allow her to not only work for New Japan and work on American TV for AEW, but also go do all her Hollywood stuff on the side and just be the fucking megastar that she is. That's just what it is. You can like or hate Sasha in ring. I don't think you can poke a lot of holes in her in-ring work either. I do. Sasha's one of certainly top 10, but you can make an argument for top 5 too. You could make an argument for the best if you wanted to. But certainly top 5, I would say, at least for me. Top 10, I don't think anybody could argue ever. So she's done everything that there is to do in the WWE. She's main evented WrestleMania. At least once, I think twice, didn't she? Wasn't she in the triple threat too? It was Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte all main evented a WrestleMania together, did they not? Because it was the Four Horsewomen minus Bayley, who I think was still stuck down in NXT at that time. But then there was, you know, her match with Bianca was huge too. WrestleMania main event. She's been a women's champion a bajillion times, tag team champion a bajillion times, NXT champion. I mean, there's literally nothing else to achieve other than she's going to start moving down the card and putting all these other women over and, quite frankly, losing her star power. And that might be part of where she's coming from with not liking the creative, too. She might be recognizing that she's being a bit player right now. And in wrestling, that's how it works. If you are going to be a lifelong wrestler, then you're going to work your way up to the top of the card. And when you're not at the top of the card anymore, they have to rotate you down. Well, certainly you could pop your way back up and work your way back up. But traditionally, you go back down the card and you start working with some of the younger guys, the undercard talent, building up the rest of the roster with your star power. And you know, maybe you're able to, you know, get yourself back in a championship position again. But that's kind of where Sasha is right now. And if she has aspirations to be a big Hollywood megastar, she doesn't want to be, you know, WWE jobber Sasha Banks in The Mandalorian. You know, and if she wants to be WWE WrestleMania main eventer, women's champion Sasha Banks. So there's an element to that, too, just as a business strategy. You know, you've achieved enough power, enough status, enough star power to kind of start playing the game a little bit. And I, you know, you can call her a brat or a bitch or whatever you want to call her, ungrateful. I've seen it all out there on the internet. But to me, I call it smart. She's playing the game right now. I'm Sasha Banks. I don't want to do that shit. You know what? I'm just going to walk away. Fuck you guys. Good for her. If she leaves WWE now, she's a megastar. She sticks around for a year or two, she could be opening match jobber, not even on WrestleMania. They can do that to her. What's that going to do for her star power? It's going to hurt it. She's still talented as fuck, so she can overcome it. But I think this is a good move for Sasha. I think she needs her release. I think the current report is that her lawyers are working on a release. There is release in the process of happening, but it hasn't happened yet. So we'll know when it's official, and we can talk more about it if there's more to talk about at that time. But for now, I'm sure this is coming. I'm pretty sure it's happening. It's just a matter of when. I don't think it's happened yet, and I think this will be great for Sasha, and I think this will be a giant blow for WWE, to be 100% honest with you.
I hate Juggalos. I fucking hate them. I say all this with a grain of salt because for a good part of my own life, I proudly identified as a Juggalo. You should come to the gathering with me. Nah, man. I'm not into all that whoop whoop shit anymore. I'll pay for your ticket. I got fired today.
Get the fuck out!
Still got room for me?
Spike, slow the fuck down! Cops!
Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep!
The savages started closing in with their tiki torches and war paint.
Shit. Run! You guys got a dead body here already?
Even the aliens were throwing shade. It was pure panic and intense horror. There was a guy I saw got chopped in half. I had nothing left to go back to.
You alive?
Yep. The Gathering. A bold journey into the belly of the Juggalo underworld.
AEW Women's Champion Thunder Rosa is catching a lot of heat online currently with all the Twitter scuttlebutt about her sandbagging her opponents. There was an indie wrestler who recently tweeted out something to the effect about Thunder Rosa in her recent match with Marina Shafir had basically been sandbagging her and purposely making her look bad and being difficult to work with. And then just kind of going on a rant about how that makes, both of you look like shit and so on. And this tweet was actually liked by both Marina Shafir and Britt Baker, who has worked with Thunder Rosa a couple times, and quite frankly, being the biggest women's star in AEW, one of the biggest women's stars in wrestling, quite frankly, carries a lot of weight and legitimacy towards that. So that even had me second guessing. Was Thunder Rosa really that bad? Because I loved Thunder Rosa. I thought very highly of her. She's one of my favorite women's wrestlers. Check out this clip where Thunder Rosa was asked directly. She was on the Ariel Helwani show, and she was confronted with this. So let's hear from her mouth herself on how she responds to these allegations.
I see a lot of people slandering your name right now online, saying that you were stiff, you sandbagged Marina Shafir. What is going on here? Because I feel like, and I see people liking tweets, and I feel like people are not respecting the champ. All right. So what is happening here? Where is this hate coming from? And can you address that? Is that true? Did that really happen?
No. And I'm going to say it like how I said in the New York Post. I have nothing but respect for my opponents. Nothing but respect for my opponents. Because anyone that dares to stay in the ring with me, I have nothing but respect to my opponents. And I send them nothing but blessings. And I will, like I said, moving on forward, I will continue to work harder to have the best matches I can bring and to bring the most opportunities for all the women that are behind me. So when they step in the ring with me, they're like, okay, cool. People, like I said, people are going to talk and that's fine. I'm not worried about that. I will continue to move forward and I will continue to show with my body of work, what am I all about?
I like to consider myself a little bit intuitive. And when Ariel asked her that question, and props to Ariel for just flat out asking that question, by the way, I think in interviews, a lot of times it's really easy to just kind of do the softball questions, and you don't want to go out and do the gotchas and the attackings, and because you're not going to get a lot of interviews that way either. But Ariel's such a great interviewer, and he's able to ask this question to Thunder straight up without pussyfooting around it at all, but he asked it so earnestly, like, what's going on with this? Is this true? Without, like, being accusing or gotcha or anything. And I felt like watching Thunder react to that, she felt like she was on the spot a little bit. She kind of froze for a second, had to kind of calculate how she was going to answer that. And she kind of rambled through it and kind of answered that she's not sandbagging anybody. So with Britt responding to this and her tweet and Marina, not respond, but liking it, which is kind of endorsing that idea, right? You don't like that tweet if you don't endorse that claim. Marina as well kind of got me second guessing, like I had always thought, like Thunder's got to be one of the most talented female wrestlers I've ever seen. I love her matches, but then it goes back to remember that whole thing with Ivelisse too, and that the supposedly Ivelisse was being difficult to work with in the ring, and she kind of put that blame on Thunder, but because Thunder was the shiny new toy at the time and the better talent and the one that Tony had his eye on, Ivelisse kind of got the bone in that situation, right? And everybody kind of blamed Ivelisse as being difficult to work with or just, sandbagging Thunder back then. So there's been a number of claims that have gone towards this, but I offer you in defense, I offer another clip here where Jim Cornette threw in his two cents.
Well, no, it, all of this was Marina, and it, because even if you're trying to feed somebody your legs or your arms or something so they can get a hold on you, when you don't know what they're doing, you don't really know which way to turn, and then they drop what they've got of yours. They drop it because you turned the wrong way because you don't know where you're fucking going. I mean, she fucked up a snapmare. Possibly a clash of styles here. I've seen smoother shoots. And she almost killed Rosa with a snap suplex.
So Cornette seems very adamant, like almost laughably adamant. Like, yeah, no, this is Marina Shafir's just a shitty wrestler. And Thunder was trying her best with Marina, but wasn't getting anywhere. Now, Marina's had some pretty horrible matches. She's not a great wrestler. So I don't know what to think about this situation, because Britt's green, but Britt endorsed that tweet, which leads me to believe that Britt also thinks that Thunder is difficult to wrestle with in the ring, or that she may have sandbagged her a couple times or whatever. But Britt also doesn't have the experience that, say, like a Jim Cornette is infinitely wise, right? Like, I might not agree with a lot of the things that he has to say. I think, he's antiquated and dated in a lot of things and just has an outdated view on things, but that doesn't take away his knowledge of professional wrestling. At its core, wrestling is always wrestling, and, he can spot shit inside the ring that other people just aren't. So, at this point, who do you believe? Do you take the word of Marina Shafir, some fucking indie guy, and Britt Baker, and Ivelisse, all of which kind of back and support this claim that Thunder Rosa is kind of sandbagging people and making people look bad in the ring, and I don't know where that comes from, if that's the case, why she'd be doing that. You're never going to make yourself look better by making your opponent look worse. The idea is not to make everybody you work with look like shitty wrestlers and make yourself look like the best wrestler on the planet so that you get the high spot on the, because now you're just wrestling with a bunch of shitty wrestlers who hate you. I would think the idea is to make even the worst wrestlers on your roster, like a Marina Shafir, try to make them look as good as you can, make them look like $1 million so that you can come back and have another match with them, and they're better the next time, and it's a better match the next time, and there's just no logical sense. Even if you're trying to play politics and up your status in a company behind the scenes, you don't do that by making your opponents look worse in the ring. It's just the absolute dumbest, worst thing you could possibly do in a wrestling match. Why would you do it? But all those people say that Thunder is, or at least endorse the idea that that's what Thunder's doing. Thunder did kind of stutter through it when Ariel asked her, but Jim Cornette seems very adamant that any fuck-up that happened in that specific match was all on Marina, and that Thunder looked to be doing her best to try to work with her. So who do you believe? You know, where who you kind of want to lean with the experience of a Cornette, but there's a good handful of other people that are backing this claim. So I think this is one to watch. I hate to see this be the case. If this is the case, like I said, I am, very much a mark for Thunder Rosa. I think she's a shining star in that women's division, just as a wrestler, as a character. I feel like her matches are usually fights. You know, they're not going to be the powder puff, kind of go through the motions, half-assed, paint-by-numbers wrestling match that a lot of these women wrestlers have. No knock to that, but watch some of these women wrestlers. Like, you watch an Anna Jay match, she does a little whippy into the corner, but she just barely, like, there's no concept of this is supposed to look like an actual, where I gotta throw you into the corner. I'm just gonna, here, you know, you go over here, and then I'm gonna run, and then we do this. And a lot of those women's matches look like that. The very paint by numbers and without the actual why in it. And Thunder Rosa is very physical. Her matches are intense. She looks great in the ring. She's got a character, a style, a presence, you know, with the paint. She's got an iconic look in that way. She doesn't just blend in with everybody else. She's very loud and charismatic, and she's an undeniable personality, right? Like, she's not going to blend into the background at all. So I she's a great person to put out there just for, you know, her ethnicity and being a woman, being a woman of color, being a woman of Hispanic origin. Like, all of that stuff, it's a great poster child for your women's division. So I think her being the champion is great in AEW, but we got to watch this. Making all of her opponents look like shit and she's just out for self, that's not gonna fly. It needs to be addressed by somebody who knows what's going on. I don't know if Serena Deeb has ability to say. I know she does some trainer work, and I know she's a veteran enough to, and she's worked with Thunder. I don't think Thunder would have the balls to try to sandbag Serena Deeb. But, you know, maybe a Deeb can kind of look at a few of these matches and be able to call that shit out. But, you know, at this point, I'm going to lean towards Cornette over some of the greener wrestlers. And maybe just chalk this up to Thunder being a little bit too stiff and real out there. I think Thunder goes out there to have a fight. And I think some of these other women's wrestlers go out there to have a match, have a little paint by numbers. And granted, like, a Marina Shafir is probably not somebody you're going to want to have a fight with. But that appears to be the case. So until, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on it. We'll see where it goes and we'll address it if shit gets worse. But until then, it's she said, he said kind of stuff. Dutch Mantel did a shoot interview that hit the YouTube this week. It was Wrestling Shoot Interviews on YouTube. So it's a British lad, I believe, who does shoot interviews with wrestlers. He had one with Dutch Mantel. And if you're not that familiar, if you haven't really gone out and listened to any kind of Dutch interviews, Dutch is one of the wisest men in professional wrestling. He's a brilliant mind. He's a good storyteller, too. He's a fantastic. Like, you listen to an interview, a shoot interview with Dutch, he's one of the best. And in this particular clip here, he was talking about a story from back in the day out on the road where Macho Man Randy Savage was involved in a knife fight in a Waffle House.
So he's sitting down, he's trying to order, and this waitress come up, and this guy busted through the door. And later on, we found out that he worked on the day shift at the Waffle House, so everybody knew him. And there was nobody really customers in the Waffle House at the time, but all the staff knew him. And he said, "Hey, everybody, guess what?" They said, "What, Jimmy, what?" He said, "I'm going to get married." And they went, "Oh, my God, I was..." And the woman that was taking Savage's order, she left and went around the counter and hugged him. I think he had his wife with him. future wife with him. Well, Savage was hungry, and that pissed him off. And, oh, my God. So the guy started talking, and Savage couldn't leave it alone. So when the woman went back to take the rest of Savage's order, Savage says, "Who gives a shit?" Well, it was kind of quiet in there. And the guy, now he's embarrassed, the guy in front of his future wife. The guy said, "You better give a shit." I said, "Well, I don't." He said, "Well, we got a problem." And Savage stood up. He said, "Oh, I don't know. Do we?" I can see it as clear as day. And then the guy got up close to Savage, and they just started fighting. And while this is going on, the guy stands up and pulls a knife and opens the knife up. And Savage sees that. Well, he don't have a knife, but he can get one. So he jumped over the counter, the little partition, and grabbed a knife. They're like this. They're trying to not do a Zorro, I guess. I don't know. They're trying to cut each other. And Savage said he looked down, and he had a butter knife. And then he heard the sirens coming. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, this is such a wrestling story. Like, nothing says wrestling more than Waffle House butter knife fights, right? And Macho, the eternal dick. He's just an always in a miserable mood, trying to get his food. Fuck you and your marriage, you know, your oh, she said yes. Hey, nobody cares. I'm trying to eat, you fuck. I'm over here and feed me. Yeah, I'm trying to get my sandwich. This is just a great story. It's so pro wrestling. It's so Macho Man Randy Savage, too, to just be like, fucking, he's not going to back down. Guy busts out a knife. You're not going to see my, okay, guy, all right, take her easy there. Macho Man's gonna be like, "You wanna fucking go?" He'll smash a glass. He'll have the broken glass, like, "Oh, fucking cut your eye out." Yeah. Like, Macho's too intense. I don't care if you got a gun. You put a butter knife in the hand of the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're gonna have a fucking problem. Ooh, yeah. No, I just had to throw this clip in there because these are just the funnest stories. This is what makes pro wrestling pro wrestling. These are the kind of stories that you'll never hear. You know, or maybe a rock star, you know, you'll hear it in the rock star lifestyle. But, you know, in the 80s, like, this kind of shit wouldn't even happen today. If it did, people be in fucking, it'd be all over TMZ and then you guys be in jail and stuff and... This could never happen again. This was only in the 80s, only in wrestling and, or in, you know, rock stars. It's just great shit. Waffle and Waffle House. There's a Waffle House in there, too. Only at a Waffle House will you see a pro wrestler have a butter knife fight with somebody over their fucking marriage announcement. Unreal. But go back and listen to this whole interview with Dutch. I listened to the whole thing again. Dutch is a fucking fantastic storyteller. He's if you're listening to the clip, I got it down in the description. Great storyteller, very interesting, smart guy. You know, great wrestling mind. Just great shit. Go check it out, and we are on to the next. Oh yeah, you want to fuck with me? Daniel Garcia was on Talk Is Jericho this week. Talking with Chris about the Jericho Appreciation Society and their big brawl that they had, the arena anarchy and the arena shit and all that, the Kangle hat gimmick that they got going on and the sports entertainer stuff. All of that in this conversation was all well and good, but this particular clip here, Daniel Garcia talks about the time where he's out on the road traveling for the indies with a car full of people. Coming back from a town about 6 hours away or so, they hit a patch of black ice and they get into a very bad car accident that could have easily been tragic. Check out this clip.
Let's go back to this crash. What do you remember about the crash?
Ooh, I was sleeping in the back and I remember I woke up and we were just spinning. In my mind, like, it feels almost comical now. I was just like, oh man, like, here we go, like, strap in. And I remember we crashed. and like the sound was disgusting, like just the ripping through the car, you could like hear it. It was nasty. But after the crash, it was almost like peaceful. Like it was, you couldn't hear anything. There was no traffic. And I looked up at the front of the car and I see the people in the front, and Puff is trying to break through the glass window to get out. And Kevin Bennett, he goes, "Daniel, are you okay?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm good. I think I broke both my legs though." That's exactly how I said it.
You're totally in shock.
Yeah, I was like so at peace.
Yeah, this very easily could have been bad fucking news for the people in this car. And, you know, it's awesome that, the wrestling community kind of banded together and started a GoFundMe for these guys to help cover their medical bills and get them all back up on their feet. It's a miracle nobody got hurt. The guardrail cut through the car right down the center. So they crashed head on. Right? They're a car, they're traveling, and there's a guardrail head on, and it cut through the fucking middle. That's like some Final Destination shit. That's almost unimaginable. If there had been like, it sounded like there's four people in the car, so two on this side, two on this, and it just split them down the middle. Can you imagine if there was like a fifth guy in the middle of the back seat? He would have been impaled by this fucking railing, dude. This is nasty. And Chris talked about, when he was trying to put himself over for donating to this, but he had mentioned that it could be anybody because he used to take those car trips back in the day. And not only, do wrestlers do the car trips now when they hit the towns, certainly not as much since the whole pandemic situation, but as wrestlers hit the towns, they travel in these cars and they do long trips sometimes. And, even back in my day, like in my rapper days, I'd travel like just around the territory, I wasn't traveling the country or anything, but just traveling 2, 3, 4, 5 hours to a show and then back from a show with a car full of people, in the middle of winter time, sometimes like any one of those could be, and that's not the same. I mean, anytime you get into a car, there's a risk of an accident, but you pile these guys into cars like these and, they're out on the road for long stretches of time. It's the way of the business, and it's great to hear not just the fantastical story of this fucking railing impaling a car and how everybody lived and made it through with injuries that they were able to come back from and still be able to wrestle, but just the fact that the wrestling community came together in that situation and they were able to get these guys back on their feet and donate to them and stuff like that. It's one thing that I really love about doing this show is the wrestling community, as big as wrestling is, and we all kind of mock the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community. Well, there is a Internet Wrestling Community. It's every wrestling fan that's active and vocal on the internet. And it really is kind of a small community. It's not like we all know each other, but everybody knows everybody in wrestling, if that makes sense. And everybody's familiar with all the news people, and everybody's familiar with all the dirt sheet writers, and everybody's familiar with the indie promotions and the territories, and it's just such a tight-knit circle, and everybody's kind of interconnected, and there's that old Kevin Bacon thing. Everybody's within, you can tie any actor to within six movies of Kevin Bacon, working with Kevin Bacon in a movie. But I think, you could probably tie any wrestler to any other wrestler within three steps. It's a very tight-knit community. So I really love just being, even in the smallest way possible, being a part of that and just being, it's such a close community. It's just awesome that we're able to do things like that for people when those things pop up. So, just a great story too. Daniel Garcia, one of my favorites. I fucking love Daniel Garcia. And he talked about in this, he even said, in the podcast with Jericho, he's like, when Tony Khan put me in the main event, it was like my first match, second match in AEW. He's like, I was even thinking like, what is this guy thinking? And, Jericho kind of give him credit. Like, dude, you know, Tony watches the indies. He knows what you're capable of. Daniel Garcia, to me, he's like a mix between Brian Danielson and Randy Orton. He's a young Danielson and Orton hybrid. Watch this guy. Watch this guy as he is one of the future top stars in this entire business. I promise you. Daniel Garcia is a fucking beast. He's so fun to watch in the ring. He's very technically sound. That's where he gets a lot of the Daniel Bryanson from, is his in-ring work. But then his facial expressions, just the way he carries himself in the ring, like, he's so good at such a young age. He's very Orton-esque in his facials and his selling and that kind of stuff. And you just watch this fucking kid. This kid is going, and that's why he's getting all these big main events. Same with 2.0. 2.0 is nothing to shake a stick at either. That's why that trio was put together. That's why they keep getting all these main event gigs. That's why Jericho's taking them under his wing, because Jericho and Brian Danielson literally fought over Daniel Garcia. Not like fist fight, but like they had to like talk it out. They had to like, you know, like they're picking draft picks or something. Like, he was a hot, everybody wanted Garcia, and that's because he's highly talented. So I really have high hopes for him on the roster, and I think he's going to be, you know, give him 10 years, he's going to be a major player, big time talent. So, great interview. Go back and listen to that and just get a feel for him. Cause I feel like he kind of comes off as the quiet guy a little bit. But you'll get a better feel for his personality and what's under the hood there, when you listen to that convo with Chris. But that's all I got to say about that one. And don't just be careful when you're out there driving, guys. You know, all you indie workers out there, when you're traveling the roads, just be careful, okay? Just be careful. That's it, folks. We made it through another edition of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. Thank you guys for sticking around to the end. Those of you that have, those of you that watched or listened to the full show, thank you. I always appreciate it. Crazy week. I was very much looking forward to talking about this one. All the crazy stuff. I'm kicking around the idea. I know I said this before about going live on video, but this is kind of like an end of the week recap show, you know, breaking down the best of the podcasts and interviews and news and stuff like that. But you know, some of these stories, man, I'm missing the train on jumping on these early, like Vince and Jeff. I mean, Jeff's news broke on Monday. That's fucking old news by now. You know what I'm saying? So, with everything moving quick, I've been toying around with the idea of just doing some of these segments, you know, as the story breaks, and then just adding them to the podcast for the end of the week. I don't know, just toying around with it, but, we'll see where that goes. Before I duck out, let me shoot a few plugs at you. Please, you know, if I could just bother you for 2 seconds to like, follow, and subscribe. You can check me out on YouTube down below. Hit the subscribe ski if you're watching the video. If you're listening to the podcast, find me on YouTube. Find the show. Like it. Subscribe to it. I also do the clips and full shows both on there and shorts. Going to be doing some shorts as well. You can like on Facebook, Twitter, at Seth Grimes Media, TikTok, at Seth Grimes Media. If you want to donate to the show, if you just love everything I do and you're like, this guy deserves $300, let me send it to him. You can do that. Link is below in the description on PayPal. I also have a book out if you are a reader. It's called The Gathering, A Bold Journey into the Belly of the Juggalo Underworld. It is about a dude who hates juggalos who goes to the gathering of the juggalos. It's a novel. It's a lot of drug-induced debauchery and snarkiness. It's great shit. I highly recommend checking that out. It's on Audible, Amazon, and Kindle. Whether you like your books on audio version or you like to read a physical copy or on your tablet, it's all there for you. Links are down below in the description as well. And I also have pro wrestling-inspired NFTs. Some of you will roll your eyes at NFTs, but for those of you that may be curious, I do have pro wrestling themed NFTs. We have the championship collection available now. 30 original unique pieces of art handmade to look like your favorite pro wrestling championships, but with cryptocurrency inspired woven right into it, as you can see there on the side of the Ethereum logo instead of the WWE logo, the Meta logo instead, you know, for the Metaversal title instead of the Universal title. You get it. Links down below if you're interested in that. And finally, I just want to say thank you again for checking out the plugs, checking out the show, checking everything out. I appreciate you. I love you. I will be back next week. Got some gaming up already. The Walk and Brawl. Check that out. Doing some Royal Rumble on there. All kinds of fun stuff. But until next week, peace, love, and pizza. I'm your boy, Seth Grimes. And this has been the Pro Wrestling Podcast.
I hate Juggalos. I fucking hate them. I say all this with a grain of salt because for a good part of my own life, I proudly identified as a Juggalo.
You should come to the gathering with me.
Nah, man. I'm not in all that whoop-whoop shit anymore.
I'll pay for your ticket.
I got fired today.
Get the fuck out!
Still got room for me?
Spike, slow the fuck down! Cops!
Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep!
The savages started closing in with their tiki torches and war paint.
Shit! Run! You guys got a dead body here already?
Even the aliens were throwing shade. It was pure panic and intense horror. There was a guy I saw got chopped in half. I had nothing left to go back to.
You alive?
Yep. The Gathering. A bold journey into the belly of the Juggalo underworld.